Blackie, so here we are again.
Once again.
How many Donningtons is it now?
This is the second one I played at, and it's the fourth one I've attended.
What is it that draws you back to this festival?
Money.
That's an honest
answer. Loads and loads of money. Well, you know, you gotta reckon this is the annual Woodstock, right? You know, I mean, it's like there's nothing like this anywhere else in the world. I mean, the only thing that would probably come close to this would be the Rock and Rio Festival, which is not annual, and I don't think they really know when they're gonna have it, if they do at all. And there's speculation they may have it this year, but this thing, you know, you can count on, so that makes Donington king of the castle, so to speak.
Right. Now, of course, you've gone from one extreme to another now in the last 48 hours, because last night you just did the Marquee Club in London.
Yes.
Which I understand was jammed full of people.
Certifiably insane. I've never seen anything like that before. I mean, it's just like, is as close to a near riot as anything I've ever seen, and it lasted the entire night. I mean, they were like kids that had just been paroled from solitary confinement. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, I've never seen anything like it before.
Have you actually done the Marquee before?
No, that was the first time. I did a TV show there a long time ago, but it never played there before. And it's what's a nice way of putting it? It's a renowned toilet. Let's say that, you know. I mean, it's a famous toilet.
Is it very different for you as a performer to go from a very intimate setting like the Marquee to going on to what, 140 foot wide stage, 60 foot high, and 70,000 people all going nuts in front of you?
A lot of people ask those questions. They say, "What's the difference?" You know, like, is it really, really different? I said the biggest, and I know this sounds incredibly lame, but it really is true. The biggest difference between a show like this and a show like the Marquee last night is just there's more people.
Having said that, though, there is a big difference between this Wasp that we're going to be seeing at Donington tomorrow and the Wasp we saw here at Donington a few years ago.
That's true.
Number one, you've got an entirely different band now.
Well, not entirely. I mean, Johnny Rod's still with me, the old bass player from Donkey's years on. I mean, Johnny's been with us with the exception of the first two albums. But arrogance aside, this is a musician's band. I
mean, now, is this because Wasp are trying to grow up, to mature?
Well, it's what's happening with me personally. I mean, when we did the Inside the Electric Circus album, which was just prior to doing Donington here in 87, I was going through a complete personal turmoil where there was things that I wanted to do, you know, things I wanted to express musically. And within the confines of what Wasp were perceived as being before, there was no way I could have ever thought of doing anything like that. So sometimes you got to take a step backwards so you can take two forward. I mean, we reached the point where we said when we were doing the Inside the Electric Circus tour, I mean, I literally set the band down and I said, do we continue this traveling insane asylum the way it is, or do we go for something where there's musical credibility? And to go from where we were to where we are is a quantum leap, to say the least.
How are the fans going to react when they see the new show tomorrow?
Well, they're not really going to see a show per se. What they're going to do is be introduced to the new music, which is what we've been concentrating on for the last month now. And that's presumptuous for me to try to tell you what that is. I mean, I'll wait for you to see the reaction for yourself, and then you can just report what you see.
You're being modest now. You just told me before we went on the air that the crowd are going to go nuts.
Well, like I said, I mean, I'm giving you the reaction of what we've seen so far. I mean, I've never personally witnessed reactions like this before.
That was Blackie Lawless there talking to Mick Wall earlier today. Wasp, of course, are second on the bill at this year's Monsters of Rock Festival at Castle Donington. Past 10, the Friday Rock Show coming to you live from behind the stage at the Monsters of Rock Castle Donington. Just to let you know that the roads are starting to get pretty busy. The campsite is getting busy. I'm told that there are fireworks exploding over the campsite. The atmosphere is starting to crystallize. It's starting to form into what's going to be a great musical day, both live here at Castle Donington and on 1FM as well. Okay, following this track, meet Kerry and Tom of Slayer. We'll be right back.
Now that you've arrived, please stay a while. And I promise I won't keep you long. I'll keep you for another minute.
Okay, now this is the first time Slayer have appeared on the bill at Donington. What's taken you so long to get up on that big, big stage?
I don't think you should be asking that to us. I think you should be asking that to the person that puts the show together. This is like the very first time we've been asked, so we said, yeah, we'll do it, you know. But before, we've never even been mentioned, so.
Yeah. We weren't even going to play this year. This is the only reason we're doing any gigs is for these two shows, Donington and Mannheim.
Really?
We were going to take the whole year off.
Because I wanted to ask you, Kerry, is Donington, obviously it's a very meaningful thing for British artists. Is it a big thing for an American band to come and do?
I mean, I've heard about it since, you know, we just started. I mean, from here, I've got no goals. You know? I mean, this is the gig.
Yeah.
The thing that interests me, Tom, is what it's actually going to be like watching Slayer in broad daylight. Because I guess, like a lot of people, whenever I think of Slayer and Slayer's music, I tend to think of a very dark room with very strange things going on. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but... With Slayer, that doesn't even come to mind, because it's the music that counts. And, you know, and Mannheim wasn't enough example of that. You know, we went out there and we, broad daylight, you know, and the clouds were nice enough to cover the sun, you know, while we were on, but which was really cool, because after we were on, the sun came out a little bit, so it's kind of cool. But it's no different. I think it's just the music, the power and the intensity of the music, and, you know, the darkness just adds a little more to it, you know.
Of course, everybody keeps saying to me that Slayer have to be the heaviest band on the bill. Is that how you see it, Kerry?
I think that's a fair statement. I don't see anything close to the heaviness and intensity of our music, but that's not to say we're better.
Do you enjoy any of the... I mean, I'm thinking of bands like Thunder Now or Skid Row. I mean, that to me is much more, if you like, rock music. I don't know how I would describe what you guys do, except that it seems to be in another world completely.
Very good.
Very different from the other acts on the bill this time. I'm a big Skid Row fan myself, you know, but I just like to watch them.
So this is your last show of the year, so does that mean that you're really going to go out there and try and do something special tomorrow afternoon?
Nah. No, I don't, you know, special. We just do what we usually do, just go out and just play. That's the one thing that we set our mind to anyways. You know, there's no special show, no special, no nothing. You know, we're here to play, and we were asked to play, and we're more than happy to be here to play. So I'm kind of glad they asked us finally. You know, they needed a band like this. Just kind of stir up a little, you know, a little trouble.
And they probably will as well. Slayer. There you heard Tom and Kerry from Slayer, who are 1, 2, 3, third on the bill. Tomorrow, the Monsters of Rock. They were talking earlier on today with Mick Wall. After this track by Thunder, you'll hear Thunder live. FM, the night before the Monsters of Rock 1992. Live from our little studio back at the stage here at Castle Donington. Laughing on Judgment Day, title track of the second album to come out by Thunder. In our palatial studios here we have Daniel Don Bose, Luke Morley, Gary Harry James, Ben Matthews, and Mark Snake Luckhurst, who are, of course, Thunder. Gentlemen, welcome to this palatial BBC studio.
Good evening.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you.
Every bit of it works in total luxury, is it not?
Oh, fantastic.
This armchair's a bit uncomfortable, don't
it? Don't worry, we'll have it before the end of this segment, we'll have it reupholstered for you.
Splendid.
I want to hear about Brazil. I want to hear about what went on in Brazil with Iron Maiden. Luke Morley, tell all.
Well, it was an interesting place to go. It was bloody cold.
Yes.
We all went down with shirts and T-shirts and shorts, and nobody told us it was their winter, so it was a bit of a shock when we got to Buenos Aires. We played there first. That
That's
was
in Argentina.
Yeah, I know. But I'm getting Brazil.
Oh, I see, right.
You can talk about Brazil if you want.
All right.
Over to you, Dom.
No, go on. You talk about Argentina. No, that was nice.
We'll be back after the commercial break. Right now, it's back to Thunder.
The one thing I have to say about Argentina, the most striking thing about it is the most incredible-looking women. And absolutely devastatingly beautiful. Apparently it's because there's a lot of Italian down there. Some of the women were devastating. Were they not, chaps?
They were.
Yeah, but you said that when you came back from Newcastle the other night.
Well, there you go.
They're everywhere, aren't they?
Well, it's a terrible thing, isn't it?
That was basically the warm-up, right, for Donington, but then you did do one night at Newcastle last Monday?
Uh-huh.
Monday night. Yeah, splendid. I mean, it's absolutely marvellous. Having not done a show in the UK for, well, last time we did a UK show was, what, Boxing Night or something? It was like a warm-up
club
for
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like a warm-up show for this big show we did in Tokyo on New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's like 7-8 months or something, and we were sort of a bit concerned, that maybe they wouldn't show up or maybe they wouldn't be quite as excited as we'd hoped they'd be, but they were absolutely fantastic. The audience were just brilliant, weren't they?
We played in a lot of new numbers as well for the first time from the new record, and that's always a bit of a kind of nerve-wracking thing. So, well, how's it going to go? Because the album isn't, I'm not quite familiar with it yet because it obviously isn't out, but the whole kind of thing went very, very well and sets us up very nicely for tomorrow.
How long did it take you to make the album?
5 minutes.
Liar.
We took a lot of holidays. it took us a total, I think, in actual days or weeks, it took us something like 17 weeks. But there were periods where we'd like work six weeks on, 2 weeks off, 3 weeks on, 3 weeks off, because of studio times and whatever.
Yeah.
But it was about 17 weeks in total. But a bit longer than the first album, but then again, we recorded a lot more this time, so.
But does that mean you've got stuff in the can that's not on the CD?
Totally. We've got it in the can, in the hold all, in the bin.
Everywhere.
Everywhere, Mark. The hubbards.
Loads of it.
Everywhere you look, there's songs everywhere.
Songs. A plethora of songs.
Seriously,
do you have a lot?
Well, we ended up recording 20 songs, 14 of which made the album, and the other 6 will be released during the course of this album as B-sides and singles or whatever, or extra tracks here and there. So they will all surface, yes.
Okay. You're working your way up the bill at Donington.
Yeah. Slowly but surely.
Slowly but surely.
2 year gaps, yes. 2 year gaps. It should be interesting to see what happens in 2 years' time, Tom. It would be brilliant to be able to go back in 2 or 3 years' time and be able to headline the thing, but, we wouldn't be as presumptuous as to think that we could at this moment.
I'd be as presumptuous to say that you probably will.
Thank you, Tom.
You've brought in acoustic bits and pieces, and you're going to do some acoustic versions of stuff for us, so.
Yeah.
Your choice.
Yeah, we're going to do some stuff off the first album, one song off the first album, and then another song off of the new album, which is our current single. Are we going to play that first, or are we going to play the first one?
I don't know. What do you feel like? This is live, folks, you can tell.
Totally live, yes. We're making up our minds as we speak. Can you hear our minds ticking?
Let's do Backstreet Symphony first.
Okay, this is the title track of our first album. This one is called A Backstreet, A Symphony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was running late for a night downtown. Boys are gonna tie one down. So I took a shortcut through an alleyway, and this sound just took my breath away. There she stood with just one guitar, looking am I still good to be in this barn? Tried to leave, but my feet were lead. And the songs you play just fill my head, yeah. Cause when she sang out that melody, I heard it sound like a Backstreet Symphony. My destiny had guided me through the barroom door. The barroom, I wanna hear some more. If I do, I wanna hear some more. I watched the show in a state of trance. Stop. Stay until the end, waiting for a chance. Meet with her and make her mind. Keep her there till the end of time.
When she unfolded.
She unfolded that melody. Hear some more. Lord, I want to hear some more. Cause when she sang out that melody, I heard it sound like a Backstreet Symphony. My destiny had guided me through the barroom. Hear some more.
Well, it's only my hands.
Oh,
but tomorrow it'll be 72,000 pairs off.
Let's hope we do it better than that tomorrow.
Are you nervous
about tomorrow?
Not as nervous as we were last time. It's, you know, it's not like going into the unknown. This time we, I guess the band's a little more established. We know there's going to be at least a few thousand out there and know who we are. So it's not the same kind of pressure. It's still nerve-wracking. I mean, any time you get on stage in front of that many people, you do, you know, the old brown corduroys do have to come out the wardrobe.
Yes, there's a bit of bottom twitching to be done there, Thomas. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you do. I mean, the crowd is behind you. You know that. I mean, your market intelligence.
Well, I was hoping they were going to be in front of us, actually.
If they're behind us, they're probably chasing us out the door. No, they were brilliant last time. So unexpected. You know, we never had a clue. I mean, let's face it. Last time we sold about 5 records when we went on. But somebody out there must have been taping it like mad, you know, because everyone seemed to know the words. Yeah. Which is very alarming when you've got 70,000 people and you've only sold 5 records. So this time, hopefully, you know, we've sold a lot more records. We're up to 10 now. So it's getting better and better. You know, we can just hope for the best, you know, that they are going to be up for it. And that they'll give us the benefit of the doubt with the new songs. Yeah. Because, you know, they won't know them, so we know they're not going to be as excited. But it'll be nice that, you know, if they listen and they're appreciative.
What will be the balance of between the old and the new? Have you worked that out yet?
Yeah, it's going to be in the region of 60-40 in favour of the first album. Because I think, you know, on the festival, you know, people paid a lot of money and I sit there all day. And I think it would be presumptuous of us to go in there and just do 100% new material. I think that would be a bad move. And, you know, we haven't played here for a while, so people want to come along and hear some of the old stuff that they know. So, you know, as I said, 60-40 in favour of the first album.
Low Life in High Places is the first single off the new album.
Yes.
Written by Luke Morley, and is the lyric true?
Yes, it's just based on, you know, my experiences of the last few years. Danny and I went to New York a few years ago. We'd never been there before. It was 88, I think. And just sort of walking around in the less salubrious areas, the state of the homeless and all that kind of stuff, and we looked at each other and said, "Well, we never see this in, you know, don't see this in Catford, you know." But unfortunately, now you do. and particularly Soho. It's very, very depressing, and you know, people who are in a position of power to do something about it seem to not do anything about it. And you know, we're not politicians. We don't claim to be, and everybody is entitled to their own opinion on these matters. But it's something that does bother me. You know, I grew up in London. And it's not pleasant, you know, you go out for a drink, you're stepping over all these people asking you for money.
This is our dig, you know. This is our dig at the politicians and the people that could and should do something about it.
I tell you what, the best way of pushing the knife in further is to give us a live version of Low Life in High Places.
Splendid. Okay, have you got your guitar on there, Leon? Hope you're listening, John Major.
Mama, tell your children not to go down to the city where the desperate people go. And Mama, don't you let them stray. They won't find peace of mind in such a lonely place. Wannabes and losers all trying to get a break. They don't give a damn, they'll do whatever it takes. If they climb the ladder, they get to play the highest stakes. That's why there's low life in high places. Mama, things have changed since you were young. When you scream in the dead of night, now no one ever comes. And the poor man, he's cast as the villain and the thief. You see him down on the street, begging for enough to eat. Waiting on the corner, I saw her waiting for the man. When the limo was changing hands, I should have tried to warn her and make her understand there is low life in high places. There is low life like you never even knew. There is low life and it lives in me.
Version Low Life in High Places from Thunder. This is BBC Radio 1 FM.
1 FM. In the meantime, let's go with the Paul Boys. Absolutely. The Poor Boys, they're taken from their current album, Pardon Me, this year of 1992. They're on Hollywood Records and the one called The Healing.
Over, I ask myself, is this all?